Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. I've had a great week with Kurt Vernon. He's with Commonwealth City Church here in Lexington, where he is a pastor and a worship leader. And we talked about how God provides. If you've lost hope, and can God really provide for my financial needs? You need to go check out our previous two programs. Go to our website, hopeishere.today. But we're going to talk about a topic today that I think a lot of Christians struggle with. I know I have in my own life even, and that is the topic of shame. And, Kurt, the Bible tells us that God forgives us as far as the east is to the west, that once we ask for forgiveness, he remembers it no more. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, being in ministry now, both full-time and bivocationally now for 16 years, I see a lot of people that, man, they can't forgive themselves. They still live in shame for mistakes. Have you found that to be true?
Oh, yeah. I find it true in a lot of people, and unfortunately, I often find it true in my own mirror. I see that tendency in myself. I know, especially over the last 20 years of deeply walking with the Lord, I feel like that has probably been the most difficult stronghold to break in my own life and my own heart. And I realized we talked about this a couple of days ago, that the big thing about that, I think the lie that Satan's always trying to convince me of, it's twofold. One, it's that God's grace is smaller than his word says it is. And two, my sin is a lot greater than his word tells me it is. Mm-hmm. Now, meaning that my sin is, like, what I want to believe whenever I'm in the middle of condemnation, what I'm really saying is, oh God, I've gotten so good at sin that your blood wasn't quite enough. Your blood was enough to take care of the sins of all the world except mine.
Yeah.
I found a special way to sin. I'm the first man in all of human history that did not deserve your grace, that did not deserve the effects of your resurrection, and that did not deserve to really get to live in the fullness of what your cross and the gospel accomplished. And man, it's just, the funny thing is, I know it. You know, like sitting here with you, we got like, I know we're talking about the truth of the Word of God. I'm like, oh, I'm strong. But then I know inevitably, because we got to talk about this and because I got to proclaim it so boldly, I know that the moment I get in my truck here in a little bit, like there's inevitably going to be some thought in my mind that tries to convince me that his grace is smaller than I'm assuming.
Yep.
And so it's, for me, one of the things that's been super sweet and super helpful is, first of all, just learning to have scripture that I can play over and over in my mind. And one thing I find, we'll talk some about the music the Lord's given me, I know, here soon, but one thing, I can even track the lessons that the Lord has taught me in overcoming guilt, condemnation, and shame by the things that I've seen that he's had me write in worship songs. Mm. One thing he gave me in a song I got to release about 5 years ago, it just says, I'm not good enough at sin to undo what you did. If you would call me worthy, then I'm worthy of love.
Mm.
Another thing he gave me one time was, if I made my bed in hell, you'd come stay the night.
Wow.
Doesn't matter how far I run, I still find you by my side. If I use 10,000 words to convince you that I'm through, you'd call my heart a liar because I'm sick with love for you.
Mm.
And when I see, and these are these moments, these aren't just things that I thought, oh, that's a good song. Those are moments when, in the privacy of my own prayer room, I'm bawling, I'm crying out to God, I'm going, Lord, I want to trust you.
Mm.
But I think the biggest hurdle that I feel with, that I've dealt with, and I think our culture just in general deals with, I don't feel clean.
Mm.
I might know I'm clean. I might believe it by faith. I might have a theological understanding. You know, I might know it. Mm-hmm. As far as cognitively, but I don't feel it. And I think the last couple of years, that's been the deepest place that I've sensed the Lord kind of working on my own heart. It's, all right, what do you do when you stop feeling it?
Mm-hmm.
What happens when your emotion doesn't catch up with truth?
Right.
Because I don't know if you're like me, but my emotion tends to lag way behind my understanding of truth.
Yes.
I can have perfect theology in the midst of just feeling completely and utterly far away from God.
Mm.
What I found is, and there's a song that hopefully we'll get to share here soon. It says, if I don't feel free, but you say I'm free, then I'll call my heart a liar and trust you more than me.
Mm.
And I've realized, you know what? the spirit that's sitting inside of my chest, the spirit that came to live inside of me when faith arose and woke up inside of my life, when I came to this place where my life was no longer my own. I've been bought with a price. I've been crucified with Christ. You know, there's a lot of different expressions I could use from Scripture, but ultimately to say, when I got saved, when I got bought and redeemed, man, at that moment something happens. Something sweet happens. That the Spirit of God comes in, and if I've been crucified with Christ, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
Mm.
And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith. Now, what that means is, if I don't feel free, oh, that's fine. The Spirit's got enough freedom for two.
Mm.
If I don't feel clean, that's all right. The Spirit's got enough freedom for two.
Mm.
He's clean enough for the both of us. And so what I found is, I found this applies to so many areas in my life. When it's guilt and shame, a lot of times for me it's something as simple as when I get up in the morning, wake up early, I'm a new dad. Got a little baby who's crying a lot in the mornings, you know. He's sweet as can be. He's awesome. Easiest child of all time. But, you know, there's those moments still where it's like, oh, man, do I get up and how am I going to start my day? How am I going to feel? Like, I've already been through it a little bit. Do I want to open my Word and get into Scripture? Do I want to spend time in prayer? And sometimes I'll get that place where I'm like, I don't feel like it.
Hmm.
And in those moments, I'll stop and I say, you know what? I'm dead. I've been crucified. And the Spirit inside of me, He loves and cherishes the Word. The Spirit inside of me is craving the place of prayer right now.
Mm.
And I'll stop and I'll remind myself, Kurt, you're crucified. Stop acting like you have an opinion. Because the Spirit's opinion is what has prevailed in my life. In my thoughts and my default modes and my mornings and what I do with them, they've been bought and paid for by the cross.
Amen.
And because of that, the Spirit now has been given control. You know, the love of Christ compels me. It controls me. And like that is where I go now when I have these moments, either whether it's guilt and shame or whether it's something as simple as a single act of obedience to stop and say, you know what, Holy Spirit, I know what you want to do. And we will give up what I want to do what you want to do.
Mm. Amen. Well, and you talked about the feeling thing, and you know, so many people talk about, well, I just follow my heart, and yet, yeah, you know, I love the verse. Yeah, you know, I believe it's in Jeremiah that talks about, you know, the heart is deceitful, isn't it?
That's right. Above all things, it says, desperately wicked, who can understand it? I got to talk one time. There's probably a reason I only was given one opportunity to speak in this environment, but it was a graduation. Asked me to come and talk to the seniors. I've never been asked back to any school since, so word must have gotten out about this, and you'll probably understand why when I tell you my content. I said, guys, a lot of people are going to tell you, go out there, leave this school, and follow your heart. And I'm going to tell you, crucify your heart.
Mm.
The greatest gift you can ever give to your heart is to crucify it. Because
mm.
what happens when you crucify your heart? Ezekiel 36 tells us about this. He's going to take out a heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh.
Mm.
So a heart of flesh can be circumcised. It can be changed. It can be molded. It can be turned not into a better version of the heart it was. It can be removed and replaced with the heart of Christ.
Amen. No, that's good stuff there. Another thing you had talked about with the feelings is, you know, we met that day a couple weeks ago. We talked about Psalm 27:14, the Amplified Version.
Oh, that's right. Uh-huh.
About wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for and confidently expect the Lord. And, you know, I'm a little slow, but God says wait in there twice, but also still be confident.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of seems like that's oxymoron right. In our culture, doesn't it? Wait, but be confident right. That it's going to happen.
Be confident in the waiting. I know in the old Amplified, there's this phrase in there. It says, let your heart be stout and enduring.
Mm.
Let your heart. Now, what that tells me is like, he's not saying, okay, muster up stout and enduring. It's just let it happen. Because if I step back and the Spirit of God comes in, if he's given uninhibited access to my heart, then you know what's going to happen? It's going to get stout and enduring. It's going to get confident, even if it's made to wait for decades to see the promise revealed.
Mm.
I love that passage, Psalm 27:14. I highly recommend it. Sometimes for me, I just love getting a fresh perspective. And the Amplified Bible is a Bible that kind of takes some of the some of the innuendo of the Greek and Hebrew and gets to kind of expand it. And you'll get some stuff in there that's rich that I just, man, I love to get some of those simple thoughts. Let your heart be stout and enduring. I'll play that over my mind 100 times a day when I'm going through a trial.
Well, and the thing about it, you know, you talk about be stout or the version, or it's be strong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, that's a choice sometimes. And, mm-hmm. you know, and those feelings, you have to ignore them. You don't feel strong. But I found just simple acts of obedience, whether it's just spending some time in God's Word. Yes. You know, I don't feel like it, as you shared earlier. It's amazing how we kind of get some strength. And then just by making one simple, you know, God-honoring decision leads to another. Next thing I know, what I woke up on the, quote, wrong side of the bed. Next thing I know, mm-hmm. by 10 a.m., man, this is a great day. Mm-hmm. But it starts mm-hmm. with those little decisions in
that's
the morning,
right.
doesn't it?
Yes. You know, and that's the crazy thing is that when we see like one thing I pray for a lot is just revival in my city. You know, I want to know, what does it mean to see in Lexington as it is in heaven? Mm. You know, what does it mean to see, what would happen if every believer in this city woke up every day and said, my goal today is to be a walking answer to the prayers of heaven? Mm. Now, that seems big, and that seems vast to me. That seems almost like out of my reach. But when even it's what you just said, I realize the answer to that prayer is one simple yes at a time. Mm. And it's when you string together 100,000 little yeses, it makes the kind of big yes that resounds in eternity. Mm. You know it.
Wow. And you talk about all the Christians that are listening here in Central Kentucky. If we just did those yeses, and I think about the Lord's Prayer, you know, he talks about thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I think sometimes I'm guilty, and I've had friends, as we've discussed this, instead of thy will, Greg's will be done on earth as in, or Kurt's will be done on earth as in heaven. And it's going back to that John the Baptist and, you know, John chapter 3, verse 30, you know, Jesus must increase and I must decrease. And it's a daily choice, isn't it?
That's it. You know, the cool thing, too, with his will being done as it is in heaven, like the sweet thing about his will is he actually cares more about me than I do. Mm. He knows what's best for me better than I do. One thing I do now in prayer, and I'd recommend anybody trying this, is one of my favorite things to stop and do in prayer. I'll be praying for something, asking Lord for something. Not even a bad thing. It could be a good thing. And then I'll just stop, and I'll say, Lord, now I just say amen to everything that you're praying for me. Because Scripture tells me that Jesus is now my intercessor, which means, that's a big churchy word, to basically explain that there is a conversation happening right now at a throne in glory between Son and Father contending for you. For you. Mm. Like, you are a topic of conversation in heaven right now. And heaven is praying for you, fighting for you, contending for you, invested to the point of shedding its blood for you. And in that conversation, we know what's happening. He's praying for his will to be done in your life in the exact same way that it would be done in heaven, because he knows that's what's best for you.
Amen. Good stuff there. Wow. Well, time flies and you're having fun. We've been hanging out with Kurt Vernon. He's at Commonwealth City Church here in Lexington. Man, just had three great programs. Talked about God being our provider the first 2 days. And today you've talked some about handling shame and just letting God heal you and trusting him even when you don't feel him. But if you tuned in late or you missed our first two programs, I want to encourage you to go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. Check out these 14-minute programs. I know you'll be really encouraged, and maybe share them with somebody else, you know, that's just kind of really struggling with their faith right now. I know that they would be greatly encouraged to stay with us and join us again tomorrow as we'll continue our conversation with Kurt Vernon on Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.